a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
No. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Baritex Community Bank Studios, located at Bobcat of Houston in Lamarck. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I thought about playing a highlight coming back into the segment. No, I don't want to relive any of that. Texans lost 21-13 to the New York Jets last night.
Not a good Halloween.
There was a moment while we were watching the game at Nick's place where John Granato insulted me on a level that I can't even imagine. Do you know what he did?
No.
Do you know what John did?
He made fun of your costume?
John thought that I was a Jets fan.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't get high on paint thinner, sir. Okay?
Oh, gosh.
How dare you accuse me of being a fan of that franchise? And then that franchise stuffed you in a locker.
I don't know how he got so confused.
He confused me with Jake Asman.
Oh,
for sure.
Oh, Paul, that might be the worst thing ever said to
me.
Oh,
it was brutal. It was brutal. So I took as much of a loss as the Texans did last night, some would say.
Might be bigger. Mm-hmm. Might be bigger. At least Joe Mixon was good last night. Like, Joe Mixon and Tank Dell are the highlights. Denico Autry deserves some love. 2 sacks in yesterday's game. So, at least you had those things going for you. And you only lost by 8. Yep, I had to do math there for a second. It wasn't like the Vikings game where you lost 34-7.
You did lose by 2 scores.
You lost by 2 points.
Lost that game. Stop.
What?
Don't do this.
Well, if Kaimi Faber made the field goal.
You're doing it the other way.
Yes, because that is not a missed field goal. That's this dumbass fumbled the ball while going into the end zone.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do something like that.
It was unbelievable what they did. And I mean, the fact that Malachi Corley fumbled the ball like that, it just absolutely is a baffling thing to see in the NFL today. But the Texans last night, it was an embarrassing performance, but I want us to be a little positive. Just a little bit.
Stop.
I can't be positive about Joe Mixon?
You can be positive about Joe Mixon, but I mean, that's what the Texans offense is. Hey, Joe, figure it out. Throw a pass on 2nd and 7 while you're knocking on the goal line.
We haven't talked about that enough yet. It came up in the draft for the first time. I cannot believe Bobby Sloak made that play call. Like, that is an inexcusable play call.
I can't either.
I don't quite understand why you would make that decision, even if you were winning the game. Like, I hate that play call. There is really, I don't know, and this is not, like, Philly special fallout, sorry.
No, it's fine, man.
But
I got so many I forget
about. That's true. This play is really never effective. To have your quarterback, I mean, to have a running back throw the ball. I don't understand why in the red zone you would try something like this. Just hand it to Joe Mixon. The only thing that's really working consistently. I mean, you had a 98-yard drive at one point, in which he had like 8 carries, 10 carries on that drive.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Bobby can't do that.
I really want to know why they thought that would work, especially when this wasn't a play where C.J. Stroud was going to be able to sneak out. When Stroud lines up to the wide side of the field, you know what happens there? Right away, there's going to be a corner who's picking him up if he's lining up to the outside. It's not like they're going to just leave him there by himself, because they all are athletes. It's not that hard to throw to a wide-open person. That's the part of the play that really confuses me the most. Okay, so you're doing a direct snap to Joe Mixon. So he might run the football on 2nd and 7. But if C.J. Stroud is lining up that wide, any misdirection, surprise, it is gone before the ball even snaps. And even if Joe Mixon throws a good pass there, or if C.J. Stroud actually gets a step on D.J. Reed, it's still one of those plays where it's going to be a very low percentage chance of being successful if it's a quarterback trying to out-athlete a cornerback in a short amount of space. And what's really interesting Sean, if you could get this for us, I mashed together both times that DeMeco Ryans, Texans head coach, was asked about that mix and cat play. His answer is interesting because this is the only time that I've ever really heard him be defensive. Here is DeMeco Ryans.
Joe takes the ball and he's, you know, simulating a run there and trying to get a throw to CJ. You know, didn't get the look that we wanted, didn't execute it the right way, you know. Everybody, trick plays are great when you execute them, right? And then everybody's a genius when you run trick play and it doesn't work, then everybody's looking like why you call the play. So it's you take a chance on those plays. If they work, great. If they don't, hey, not so great.
You feel like at that moment on a 10-yard line, calling a wildcat play, like a trick play, was kind of worth the risk reward because the next play you get sacked, and then, you know, things kind of teeter from there.
Yeah, I think you can take that play, guys, and make it however you want to. It's one play in the game. If we score on that play, then you guys are saying a great call. So, you know, the play didn't work. We tried a play, it didn't work. That isn't indicative of the game. There are a lot of plays to be made, right? We give the ball up in the red zone, all right? We miss two field goals. We don't tackle well. We didn't do enough good things to win the football game. So it's not just that one play. It's many plays that happened that weren't good enough in the second half.
So you got a little defensive there. Hey, if it's successful, you're all talking about it in a positive light. Well, DeMeco, it wasn't, and it had no chance of succeeding. I get that you have Joe Mixon, who's thrown a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl, and you have C.J. Stroud, who's a pretty athletic quarterback. But how did that play have any chance of succeeding? And I don't know if DeMeco got some feedback from Bobby Slowick before Bobby made that play call, or if that's something that they had practiced during the week. But I really want to know, how did they think, not about like whether they should have called it or not. I want to know how that play was supposed to get open. I want to know how C.J. Stroud was supposed to beat a cornerback one-on-one in a short amount of field. Because that's just really hard to do for anyone, let alone a guy who's not a wide receiver.
Yeah, I was not honestly thinking of it this way until you've brought it up. But just even the design of the play is piss poor.
Yeah.
Like when you run when you see the Philly special, or we saw the Patriots do this in Super Bowl with Tom Brady, where like there's misdirection that leads to the quarterback getting
open. The quarterback sneaks out in the backside of the play. Yes.
Like, you know, or you know, the famous Johnny Manziel one where he's fake yelling at Kyle Shanahan on the sidelines and like he's supposed to be off the field and they run the snap. Like, great play design. This is just like it's just a terrible play. It's a terrible decision. It's a terrible play. And like, did they run this because like it worked against Kamari Lassiter in practice? Like he wasn't paying attention, or Ross Blacklock or whoever these other corners are who are not good? Like, were they not paying attention to C.J. Stroud and the walkthrough? Because that's the thing. When did they practice this? There was no practice this week.
Yeah.
They only did walkthroughs this week.
Right.
So I guess this is something they've worked on throughout the season, and they felt like this was the right moment. So, yeah, and that's the typical, like, he got defensive from DeMeco did, but it's stupid cliche. That's the cliche we get from every college coach, every NFL coach about trick plays, is you're going to praise me when it works, you're going to criticize me when it doesn't. Well, that's how the sport works.
Yeah.
But like that's like with, you know,
draw up a better one.
Yeah. Or don't run it.
I'm with you there. CJ Stroud was also asked about the mix and cat. I guess we'll call it that.
Yeah.
It was better than the Watt cat, for what it's worth, 2015 playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs.
It was, but marginally.
here's CJ Stroud talking about that play.
We thought it was a good look, and you know, we got to do a better job of selling the run and, you know, making the DB fall asleep, and you know, I got to find a way to maybe go just catch it. I thought I got held, or I'm not a receiver, so I don't know, but you know, I thought they got a couple calls that we didn't get. But at the same time, you know, at the end of the day, man, like, we can go this call, that call, we didn't win the game, and we got embarrassed. We got kicked from point A to point Z, so we got to get a lot of things fixed.
I'm glad Stroud said that at the end, because it started talking about the calls. And, there were some questionable calls in that game. We'll play DeMeco's comments on another one of those calls in a second. But you heard it right there. Like, oh, you got to sell the run more? Maybe you'll make the defensive back fall asleep. No, as soon as the quarterback is lined up outside of the tackle box, the corner can't fall asleep. if he's by himself on the wide side of the field, you could be wearing number 72 and just this big blobbed offensive lineman who's got those mitts on. You see some of those offensive lineman gloves. He looks like he looks like he's about to do some jujitsu or something later. You could have those if you're still out there wide by yourself. They're going to throw it to you every single play. We used to have this thing that would happen in my high school games where I would line up in the slot, and if I went out to the wide side of the field with another wide receiver and they only had one person out there for those two people, every single time they would throw the ball immediately to me. This is the only time I ever got the ball thrown my way because we were in the wing tee. But whenever that happened, like, this is basic football. And I that's what perplexes me about this play draw. Bobby Slowick loves to get cute, but I'm trying to think if – so I'm wondering if he actually sees how the defense is going to perceive some of the stuff that he's going to draw up. I just don't see how any way that play would have succeeded.
Well, and just if CJ's covered like that, then call a timeout. Actually, I mean, I'm assuming they had one there. I can't remember, but I'm assuming they did. But CJ also he actually like perfectly explains the total issue with this play is that Joe Mixon. He didn't sell it well enough, but then he says, "I don't know. I'm not a receiver." Like, he really does like encapsulate the entire problem with this play of just Joe Mixon didn't sell it well. Like, it's not a well executed.
But how do you sell it? That's the crazy thing. How do you sell it?
I felt like because I when like rewatching it, like it looks like you can see like he never really like he doesn't make like that hard step. I feel like. He doesn't try to sell the run.
But if he's lining up like that and you're that far, they're not right on the goal line. If you're that far away from the goal line and that's the play call that you're running, okay, you run into the line of scrimmage, people are going to collapse. But if you're lined up in the shotgun and everyone's out wide, people are going to wonder whether or not you're going to throw the football.
Yeah, it's all bad. It's all bad.
I don't know. This is just basic stuff. Like, I'm not that smart.
No, but like, it's easy. It's so easy. You're right. Kiss method. Keep it simple, stupid.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Like, but they don't do that. I mean, and they just when your offense is struggling that much, like it's just not time to get cute.
Virginia Buttonweed had a very mean comment on the Twitch. Cal drew up the play in crayon on his Chili's menu. Hey, those are laminated. That wouldn't work.
They give kids menus though.
Yeah, but it's still laminated. Wait, Chili's has a.
Yeah. Kids menus?
There's still crayons at
restaurants? Oh, yeah. That's
I wasn't
thing.
Sure. I figured it out. Like they have tablets for the children.
Yeah, no. They still give out crayons.
Okay.
It's
crayons, right, too? It's not crayons. I don't know how it's supposed to be pronounced.
I've never said it that way.
Crayons.
Some people might say it that way, but I think they're wrong.
Okay. Have you ever eaten a crayon?
I'm sure I did.
I don't think I ever did.
I don't know if I ate it. Maybe stuck it up my nose. Might be more.
Hell yeah,
If I had to guess which one I did as a kid.
Life's a party, yo.
Like, more likely to do that than eat it. Play-Doh definitely ate, though.
Yeah, I probably did.
I mean.
I at least tasted it.
Yeah. I know you're going to know. I know the answer is yes. Because I think every kid did this.
Yeah.
The smelly Sharpies.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah, like the black. Yeah, all the different flavors.
You ever get that white out, dude?
No, I don't think I ever did that,
dude. You ever get that that model glue, dude? Dude, I'm kidding. Mm-hmm. It's Galan and George. He is Joe. I am Paul. We did mention that C.J. Stroud at the back of that. He talked about how the calls were not going the Texans way 100% of the time. Here's D'Amico Ryans being asked about a suspect 5-yard contact call, Sean, if you could get this ready, that was called against Derek Stingley. I hate the rule. I do think it was 5-yard contact. Here is D'Amico Ryans.
That fourth down call where Stingley gets, illegal contact, a little questionable. What was just kind of your viewpoint on that play?
You can take the fine for me. I'm not going to go there.
That's it.
Doesn't want to talk about it, so didn't like it.
I don't like it either, but it's part of the game. I'm not justifying it. Bill Polian, the former Indianapolis Colts general manager and vice president, is the person who made this rule be enforced after the 2003-2004 playoffs, where his wide receivers, he felt, were being held by the New England Patriots. So he asked for this rule to be actually called in a more aggressive manner the next year, and he thought to himself, all right, well, the Patriots got 4 interceptions on Peyton Manning in the AFC Championship game. Surely this time around it'll give us an edge on the Patriots,
who in the next playoff game, I went to both these games, the greatest two sporting events I've ever been to. Peyton Manning, despite having all of his wide receivers in the Patriots, being down to a couple of corners named Hank Poteet and Earthwind Moreland, with Troy Brown, a wide receiver in his late 30s, playing cornerback. They scored 3 points in that game as opposed to 14. So it really backfired, but it has led to the NFL going in the direction that it has, where you can't touch anybody downfield. Blame Bill Polian for that. It's the same Bill Polian who claims he had a first-round grade on Tom Brady, and the same Bill Polian who said that he would have never drafted someone like Aaron Hernandez when he, with the Carolina Panthers, drafted Ray Carruth, who also killed somebody.
Also said Lamar Jackson should be a wide receiver.
That too, yes. Bill Polian, everybody. He's going to be in the NFL Hall of Fame someday. It's a joke.
Don't really want to hear about the refs, though. CJ,
I don't either.
CJ might be right, but, you know, you might have got held on that play, but the play call sucks. The execution sucks. Too many mistakes in the game. Your offensive line couldn't block. If scale of 1 to 100, or if we did like a pie chart here, I'll go 2% blame to the referees to why they lost this game. That's the most I'll give you.
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah, that's
player's
that's
not
fair.
Good enough.
That's fair. There was like a makeup call that was right after that, I felt like, too, after the 5-yard contact. Like, they think they called a hold. I don't think it was a hold. Anyway. Yeah. He's Joe and Paul. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We were at Bobcat of Houston up in Lamarck. Up next, the 6 best games of the week. We will tell you what they are. No Texans game, but we do have a lot of good football, more so in the NFL than in college. And then we pick those games against the spread. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean Mapes back at Mission Control. It is Galan and George from Bobcat of Houston in Lamarck, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Galant and George, weekday afternoons from noon to 3.
There's a lot of games you can watch this weekend.
He's got another one! Unbelievable! He is gone! Kiss McKinney goodbye!
But Paul Galant and Joe George are going to pick 6 games.
There's 6.
Pick 6!
That's got pick 6 written all over it.
You need to watch.
This is exactly what we needed.
We pick 6 games, and then we pick those 6 games against the spread. There's my mouse. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Let's start off with college football action. I think this is the big game of the week because these two teams are both top 5. But it's only the big game of the week before this game starts because it's the 11 a.m. big noon kickoff. In college football, we're talking about Penn State. We're talking about the Ohio State. I think it is crazy that Penn State is ranked ahead of Ohio State, but Ohio State does have a loss to number 1 Oregon. 3 of the top 4 teams are Big Ten teams. Ew. The Buckeyes are 3-point road favorites against James Franklin and the Nittany Lions. And even if you do not believe in Ryan Day, you're really telling me that this is the time that Penn State finally has a win of consequence? Nope.
I'm struggling with this one, Paul.
Oh, I'm taking the Buckeyes.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the sucker on the show.
Wow.
This week. I'm going to take Penn State. Was it 3 you said?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take Penn State.
Okay.
I don't even know who's playing quarterback this week. Drew Aller might be hurt. I think the backup looked better last week.
Okay.
I'm going to be the sucker for this one.
Yeah, you are a sucker for sure taking this. I think this is a horrible decision by you, but I'm cool with it. To help me out in the standing, Sean Mapes back at Mission Control. Who do you got?
Joe, you are the sucker this week. I'm also taking Ohio State.
Come on, Joe.
I wanted to make you think that, maybe Sean's like, no.
Honestly, you got me there, Sean. Hook, line, sinker. I thought I was going to say, you're not the sucker.
No. I mean, Paul and I could be the suckers. I mean, but then it's, we get to talk trash about Ryan Day time. We get to fire Ryan Day on Monday.
We'll pretend it's Ryan. Exactly. It's Ryan Day's fault.
Well, last week we all went 2-4, so we'll see how this week's
going. Okay. What are our total records?
Here we go. Sean, 25-23.
Damn, Sean.
I'm 24-24.
Okay.
Paul, 21-27.
What the? Okay. You know what? That wasn't cool.
I read it in order.
We dumped that, so we just make the audio now.
That's because I bet with my heart, you know?
Yeah,
I believe in the heart of the cards.
There are a couple asterisk spite picks in there. So.
Yeah, thank you.
That's true.
Well, look at your record, including spite picks and without.
It still is probably behind both of you guys. All right, let's move on to no game for Texas. They got a bye week. They play my Florida Gators next weekend.
Got to rest up for that.
Yeah, they got to rest up. I kind of hope the Gators lose so that my friends will talk to me again, but whatever. It's fine. By the way, for those who don't know, I horns down drunkenly on a video, and my friends are mad at me for it, and it's been 2 weeks. My God. Anyway, the Texas A&M Aggies, number 10 on the road against the South Carolina Gamecocks. Texas A&M, 3.5-point favorites. I know that Mike Elko has been playing coy all week about who's starting, Connor Wigman or Marcel Reed. It's Marcel Reed, and if they look the way that they looked against LSU Saturday night, man, they're going to be tough for anybody to beat. I know that South Carolina almost beat Alabama a couple of weeks ago. I know they've been kind of frisky this year. But I think that if they put in Marcel Reed and they just do what they were doing in that game against LSU, running the read option, if LSU can't stop it, why would South Carolina stop it? So I think Texas A&M wins rather handily.
I'm going to roll with you on this one. Gig 'em, Aggies.
Look at you. You're Aggies.
Picked them the last 2 weeks, 1-1 in those two picks. So we're going to just keep going to them. 3.5, I think they'll cover that.
3.5.
Mapes?
Yeah, I'll take the Aggies as well. Yeah, they're way better than South Carolina. I don't know. South Carolina, like Paul said, they've been feisty a couple times. They had the game against LSU early in the season.
Field goal at the end.
Yeah, where you kind of thought they were going to win. They got a pick on Garrett Nussmeier that got overturned because they hit him after the interception. If that was a pick six, they get that. They probably win that game. So this is a feisty team. It is going to be at night in Williams-Brice. But if Jimbo Fisher's coaching this team, if Kevin Sumlin's coaching this team, Aggies lose. They got Mike Elko. And I assume the right quarterback. Asterisk, if they start the wrong quarterback, all
yeah.
picks are null and void.
100% agree with you there. Okay, so those are the two college football games of the weekend. This is a rather light weekend. Usually these are the weekends that end up being wild, but
yeah.
there are not a lot of matchups on paper that look great. Let's shift into the NFL. You got to pick between these games. We can pick Joe George's Bears going up against the Cardinals or the Cowboys taking on the Atlanta Falcons. The Cowboys are 3-point dogs on the road against the Falcons. And in the case of the Chicago Bears and the Arizona Cardinals, the Cardinals are 1.5-point favorites. Which of those games is more interesting to us? I would rather watch the Cowboys lose to feel better about myself than watch the Bears and Cardinals.
I'm with you.
Whoa, really?
I
don't want to watch your beloved Bears just because of one Hail Mary?
There's a lot before that Hail Mary that happened. I'm actually kind of just more intrigued for Atlanta. Honestly, I kind of just like the number better. I kind of want to jump on Atlanta right away.
All right. I want to do the Cowboys game too. Sean, you game?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So
which you can
Cowboys,
hear on ESPN 975.
That's true. Thank you for plugging that, Sean Mapes.
Every time we do a Cowboys game, I have to plug that.
You do. He's doing
Jerry Jones' work. Not the
yeah,
plug.
Yeah. I can't pick the Cowboys. Just can't. The vibes are off. I feel like this is the kind of game that the Cowboys can win against an Atlanta team that's kind of up and down. You got Kirk Cousins rapping before games. it's something else.
I'm gonna go Falcons too.
Okay, so we both got the Falcons. Yeah. Sean, what about you?
I'm gonna go, this is the Cowboys, they reel us back in game.
They get
people back just enough. They get back to 4-4 before they play the Eagles and Texans and back to back and the Commanders, three straight games. So I think this is the one where it's look at this. And Atlanta, while we have been impressed with what we've seen for them, they're not so good that they can't drop one to a Cowboys team that's kind of reeling right now. So give me the Cowboys.
Okay.
I'm surprised by this line. The Broncos are 5-3. The Ravens are 5-3. The Ravens are 9.5-point favorites.
Ooh.
Coming off of a loss to the Cleveland Browns and Jameis Winston. I got to say, that line is way too much, and I'm taking Denver to cover, not necessarily win.
That's a big number. Lamar Jackson didn't practice the last 2 days. He was back out there today, so he's just resting his body. I really don't believe in Denver. It's a huge number, but I'm gonna run with Baltimore.
Okay.
I'm going to go Baltimore -9.5.
How about you, Sean?
It's just so big. It's just such a big number that I don't know if I can lay them with the Ravens fresh off of a loss to the Browns.
Jameis Winston.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the Ravens' schedule. They've won 2 games by 10. They beat the Bills 35-10, so they won by 25 there. And they beat the Bucks by 10. Every other game they play, it's pretty close, with a couple losses mixed in there as well. So the Ravens aren't this juggernaut that goes out and just buries teams. And I think the Broncos are pretty good. They have a good defense, good enough to keep it within 10.
Okay, so there we go. 2 Bronco picks that one. 2 more games, all in the NFL. I think this is the game of the week in the 3:25 window. The Detroit Lions on the road against the Green Bay Packers. Also some uncertainty in the air about Jordan Love dealing with a groin injury that's apparently a lot worse than most groin injuries. But the Lions are an effing wagon right now. And I don't know why all of a sudden the website is taking me back to the Nittany Lions spread. But I would assume that the Detroit Lions are favorites.
I've got it at...
They are 3-point favorites against the Packers on the road.
Easy Detroit for me.
Easy Detroit.
Best team in the NFL right now. I'll take Detroit.
There's a part of me that feels like at some point this has got to stop.
I know. I'm with you.
Because they've been so good.
Well, you got one player who's like getting suspended for like some
Jameson
sort of
Williams,
like
yeah.
PED, and then now he's got gun charges.
Jameson Williams needs to chill.
Yeah, like, but they just keep trucking along without him. Like, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs are an incredible 1-2 punch and just make life for Jared Goff so easy. I'm just going to roll with Detroit here, -3.
All right. I think I'm taking Detroit here, too. I feel like I can't pick them until they actually show us that they're human. But right now, they are superheroes. It's insane. Sean, who are you taking?
Give me the Green Bay Packers.
Look
on a frozen tundra, a Lambeau Field.
Hey, frozen. It's like 60 degrees in Lambeau.
They wore their winter warning 52. Jerseys, though.
It's 52. that's at least the AccuWeather forecast.
And they wore the winter warning jerseys,
yeah.
Joe, against the Texans. Yeah. So winter's coming. Winter's coming.
It is Green Bay. Anything could change tomorrow. So.
There's uncertainty, not just with the weather, but there's also uncertainty with the quarterback. But guess what? In the words of D'Amico Ryans, they won 3 games with Jordan Love. They won 3 games with Malik Willis. Doesn't matter who their quarterback is. Give me the Packers.
Okay.
Sean believes in Matt LaFleur.
Undefeated with Malik Willis.
Facial hair.
So glad we don't have to pick the Texans game next because I was so confident they were going to cover yesterday. So glad we didn't do that yesterday.
You
were really confident.
Yeah.
I think I would have picked the Jets yesterday.
I would have picked the Texans, so shout out to us for not doing that.
God, it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
All right, last game. This is Sunday Night Football. The return of Joe Flacco into the starting lineup on the road against the Minnesota Vikings, a very loud place to play. Vikings in primetime, probably excited about that, but not too hot of late. The Vikings are 5.5-point favorites against Joe Flacco and company.
I think I'm gonna roll with the unraveling of the Minnesota Vikings here a little bit.
Okay.
Since the Texans game, they only beat the Packers by 2, the Jets by 6 in London. Then they lost to the Lions and the Rams. So I'm gonna take the Colts here +5.5.
Okay, I am going to take, because I feel like there's no way that Joe Flacco can continue to be as successful as he's been, and with all the seemingly turmoil in the locker room this week. After benching Anthony Richardson, I think the Vikings are going to get it together, bounce back. They've had a long week after losing to the Rams last week in Thursday Night Football. I think they've been respectable in every single game. Kevin O'Connell's a good coach. I think the Vikings are going to come out, and I think they're going to kick the Colts' ass. I agree. Sean, back in Mission Control.
I agree with you, Paul. I think Kevin McConnell or Kevin O'Connell is a good coach. Whoop, sorry, was that racist? I think Brian Flores is going to have a little something for Joe Flacco. I think he would have had even more of something for Anthony Richardson, but I think that the Vikings can do enough to get it done Sunday night at home. They're kind of a place that they don't actually get the primetime game at home very often, so I feel like they'll be especially charged up. It's one of the rare occasions where it's like, oh, actually the home field might actually matter. I mean, we saw it when the Texans went up there and played at noon in week 3, was it? So, mm-hmm. Yeah, give me the Vikings to cover.
All right. Let's go. All right, guys, that's the pick six.
The vibes are going to be bad on Monday if the Colts beat the Vikings.
No, they won't. I don't think they will be.
It's still a two-game lead.
Saw John McClain yesterday tweeting away.
You can't let John McClain bring you down. Look, John, when he's on the warpath,
it's a war
beating
path.
The drum. I mean, yeah. There's just pee bombs everywhere. And no, I'm not talking about meow. I'm talking about pathetic, pathetic, mm-hmm. pathetic, pathetic. And yesterday was pathetic. And the game against the Lions is going to be tough. And there's other tough games the rest of the way. But, I mean, going into the year, I mean, we all thought this was probably an 11-6 team.
Yeah, it is still so funny that, like, they're 6-3. And like,
I think it's normal. This is just the way that the city is when it comes to this team. And they have been disappointed so many times. And the Stephon Diggs trade, I think, put a level of unrealistic hype on this team going into the year that was going to be impossible for them to meet up. Unless they started off the year the way the Lions are, or you know, or undefeated like the Patriots were, and that just wasn't going to happen. Now, this isn't me saying that everything's okay. It's not. It's a dumpster fire right now, especially on the offensive line. And we'll talk a little bit more about it next. It's Galan and George. He is Joe. I am Paul. We are at Bobcat of Houston and Lamarck. You want to vent, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. It is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. We just told you all of those awesome games going on right now, right? You've got the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers on the fake frozen tundra. You've got all sorts of fantastic football games to bet on. And if you bet last night, say you bet on the Texans because you actually believed in them. You fool! If you believed in them, though, and you bet on them on a Thursday, guess what? You get your money back. That's right. If you lose and bet and gamble on a Thursday at mybookie.ag, it's risk-free. They'll give you your money back if you lose. You can play blackjack with a live dealer at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975, poker as well. You can even bet on the presidential election. And I got to say, the presidential election lines have been going in one direction very, very hard the last couple of weeks. MyBookie.ag, promo code bet975. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag. Use that promo code bet975.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Bobcat of Houston in Lamarck.
Four-man rush. Rodgers to the end zone. And Wilson! Can he one-handed and stay in bounds? They say he was out. What a grab, though, one-handed.
That, oh, my gosh, ridiculous catch.
That catch was insane.
Unbelievable.
But, look, while the Jets were doing some cool stuff, the Texans were doing a lot of bad. The offensive line allowed 8 sacks, 11 quarterback hits, 10 tackles for a loss. C.J. Stroud was pressured 22 times. I think that if you do the math, 30 pass attempts, and that's over half. I know some of those passing attempts he was sacked on and he had to scramble on too, so maybe that makes it look a little bit better if you want. The receivers couldn't get separation. They couldn't score in the second half again. 3 points against the Packers, six against the Colts, six against the Jets. They haven't scored a second half touchdown in any of those games. And defensively, after holding the Jets in the first half to punt, punt, fumble with an asterisk next to it. Punt, punt, punt. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. The last three Jets drives of the game. Kyahmi Fairbairn missed two field goals for a first time in a game since 2018. One of them was from 27 yards, and the Jets tried to give the game away to you. I mean, God, I'm just glad I don't have to talk about the Texans. Excuse me. I'm glad I don't have to watch the Texans this week.
Is this a worse loss than the Minnesota loss?
Yeah, because the Minnesota loss, you could say, oh, yeah, they just didn't show up for work.
Yeah.
This one is, well, the same problems that we have been seeing all season long just are going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what is frustrating about this. You know, every now and then teams are not going to show up. We've seen the Bills get blown out this year. We've seen the Ravens get blown out this year. So that doesn't separate you from that top tier of the AFC. The fact that you just don't seem to be improving at all is concerning. And there's still plenty of season left. That is totally true. I mean, remember how bad Buffalo was playing up to the halfway point of last year? Then all of a sudden they win, what, six games in a row? I'm not saying it's impossible for things to improve, but it just feels like it's very unlikely given the offensive line situation, because the offensive line is not good at all, and they just lost a guy who clearly they felt they needed to play because his backups weren't good.
Yeah, and we'll see. I think that, you know, we got to wait a while to get there, about 10 days or whatever it is to next Sunday for the next game for the Texans. But I think we're going to learn a lot about if they're a one and done playoff team next Sunday against the Lions, because, you know, if you didn't make the change going into last week and then you have the short week coming up to play Thursday Night Football versus the Jets, we kind of knew there wasn't going to be a change with Kenyon Green, especially after Patterson got hurt. So I wasn't surprised to see him as a starting left guard, but now you've got a trade deadline in which you desperately need to make a move. Or you need to shuffle things with Tytus Howard and Blake Fisher, put him in at right tackle for the Lions game. And these stunts or whatever's happening that is just causing you to just get your ass kicked every single week on the offensive line, if it's ever going to get better, it feels like this has to be the off week because of how much time you have.
Right.
Like I I'm sure they have built in like days off a little bit here to let the players kind of decompress. If I was D'Amico, I'm canceling all of that. Get back in the building. Like, be here on Saturday. Have Sunday off. Be back on Monday. Extra practice this week. Whatever you're allowed to do.
Here's the thing, though. That since there are certain things they're not allowed to do, are you going to get all those guys to come back into the building?
Nope.
I am skeptical that they would. And this is always a very tricky thing with jobs. Asking somebody to go above and beyond. And it does seem to be a rather American thing where we seem to do this more than probably any country in the world. But you're regularly going to be told, hey, man, we're expecting you to work off the clock too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that applies to the NFL anymore. And I'm very curious about how that goes.
I mean, hell, we give players a hard time when they don't show up for voluntary minicamp. And voluntary is the key word there.
Voluntary, so, indeed.
Yeah, like they got till next Sunday to try to figure this out. Like, whether it's a communication issue or hopefully, like, I will be so bummed if we end up coming in on Wednesday next week and they haven't made a trade for a left guard.
Yeah, that would be frustrating. But it's possible.
100% it's possible.
By the way, we are at Bobcat of Houston in Lamarck, and I did want to make this announcement. These guys have been wonderful. They're hosting us. There's so much awesome equipment for all of your I'm-going-to-fix-stuff needs, right? Is that what I say? These things are very cool. I want one of them to play left guard for the Texans. It would definitely be – can it put me in one of these? Would I be better than Kenyon Green?
Yes.
I'm just wondering.
Yes.
Without knowing the controls?
Yes.
Damn. Poor Kenyon Green. But, hey, we're giving away some cool stuff here at Bobcat of Houston. So, Gabriel with Empire Builders, you won the cooler. And Adam Robles, he won either the Echo Trimmer or the chainsaw. Oh, chainsaws, dude.
I don't think I would trust you with a chainsaw.
I wouldn't either.
Just give me honest.
I wouldn't either.
If they were like, if they came over here and they were like, "Hey, you want to fire up the chainsaw?
No, I wouldn't
get
trust,
some work done."
I wouldn't trust myself with a chainsaw, not one bit.
Because I think it would start fine.
Yeah,
like you would get through like the first log.
Well,
right?
You know what? No, no.
But it's after you like you feel it after you cut that first piece of log that I just want.
Have you cut it with a chainsaw before?
No.
Okay. Do you know what? And again, we're just sounding so manly here right now, just like the peak alpha males. But I would be so nervous that I wouldn't be able to start it, and I'd look like an idiot when pulling on the chain.
The most
why won't it start?
You ever watch the most I know about like stuff like that? To be honest, is you ever watch the like the competitions they used to air on ESPN all the time?
Where, oh yeah,
like,
I remember
outdoors,
those.
The outdoors
yeah,
and commerce.
Yeah, yeah, those were sick.
Those are so cool.
Yeah, those were pretty cool.
We need that back in our lives.
The most chainsaw I've used is playing Gears of War.
Oh, yeah.
Jam the B button until you just soft.
In support of hoping for a victory for my hometown team this weekend and hoping that Kyler Murray was distracted, I did buy the new Call of Duty last night. So when I get
you
home.
You did? Oh, no,
so
Joe.
When,
Joe.
When I get home after the show.
Joe, you're doing too much. This is a terrible sign. You're going to start like your child's going to suffer from neglect.
No,
but, or worse, he's going to see you playing the game. And he's like, I want to be a soldier when I grow up.
I don't want
just
that.
Just like Daddy.
I don't want that. But
Daddy, can I have an assault rifle for Christmas?
We're going to be I'm going to be firing up some Call of Duty today.
Oh yeah, know. Firing up. Huh?
Fired up.
Do you have a console that can handle it?
Yeah.
But do you have the new one?
No.
See, that's yet. What I mean. Like, the new ones, I think you have to have, like, the new console for it to even work on your system, right?
It'll work.
It'll work, he said. Not very certain.
No, it'll work.
You're
going to
get killed by a bunch of 12-year-olds, and they're going to call you slurs afterwards.
I don't listen on my headphones.
You turn them off.
Yeah, I turn them off, so.
Your PewDiePie is going to return.
Yeah, just in case my kid's in the room. Like, he can watch the violence, but I want to hear the violence towards Daddy.
Okay.
You got to avoid that at all costs.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, he's just going to go off and do whatever he wants to. So, yeah. While you do that. Okay. Listen.
I was fine. I was raised on Call of Duty. I came out okay.
No, I miss video games. I mean, I used to be an elite Halo player, you know. But
you're not going to be just like, I mean, what are you going to do on Sunday with no Texans game? You going to watch Red Zone all day?
No, I'm probably going to go to watch the Patriots as a fan for the first time in a really long time. So, at a bar. Because last year I couldn't do it because every single game was in the noon window.
Oh yeah, so there's,
you know,
there's
so the Texans. Yeah, that well, honestly, this is the one cool thing about it. Last year, every single Sunday at noon was occupied because every single Sunday at noon the Texans were playing.
Yeah.
Anyway, he is Joe George. I am Paul Gallant. We have Sean Mapes back at Mission Controller. Last couple of minutes here at Bobcat of Houston. Well, let's do a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Joel Embiid is being a little salty with the city of Philadelphia. He, I think, said this when asked about media members questioning his desire and motivation to play. I've done way too much for this effing city to be treated like this.
Yeah.
Basketball players continue to be really tone deaf. They're very fortunate that the sport pays them the way that it does.
Like, what have you accomplished?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's trying to reference, like, his, like, off-the-basketball-court stuff a little bit. I'm sure he's done some great things in the community.
Mm-hmm.
People in Philadelphia do not care.
No.
They care about on-the-court results. And it doesn't have a lot of positives. So I think it's fair to question someone that is supposedly waiting until his knee is 100% to return to play.
I think you're right. Something we missed, Joe, and I didn't get to see this because Nick's place, the audio was on for the Texans and Jets game. Dylan Brooks hit a game-clinching three to help the Rockets beat the defending Western Conference champion Mavericks 108-102. And Dylan Brooks said that the Rockets shocked the world by beating the Mavericks last night. Hell yeah, Dylan. I love that guy.
I mean, just you know, shocked the world. Regular season game. They were 6.5-point dogs, I think. So they clearly covered because they won by six. Mm-hmm. So shocked. Apparently,
they
John,
shocked the world.
Apparently, John Calipari was there last night, too.
Ooh.
He's hanging out with Reed Sheppard. I think your mustache is going to be better than Reed Shepard's mustache. His is kind of patchy.
Well, Reed's got this weird, like, he doesn't know what he's doing with the facial hair kind of vibe going on. And I think it was a good move for Reed to start growing it to look a little bit more of an adult. But listen, man, I have a powerful mustache. My this is how my father wooed my mother, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
My dad looks a lot like me. He's got the Tom Selleck vibes going on.
Well, then good luck on your date tonight, Paul.
Nah, yeah, we'll see.
Taking the good vibes in.
I'm going to sabotage it in some way. That's what I do best. Anyway, for everybody at First Off Bobcat of Houston and Lamarck, this has been awesome to come down here, hang out, and listen, you guys got to come here for all of your needs. For Sean Mapes back at Mission Control, for Joe George, for our Twitchers, our YouTubers, our texters, and tweeters, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful weekend. We will be back at it Monday at noon. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.